Blog Talk Radio.
It is that time of year. We're going to play that song a little bit after our show begins. And we're going to take you back to 2010 and talk about some of the memorable events, happenings, miracles, milestones, disasters that took place in this unbelievably memorable year. And then we're going to take you forward to 2011 with a few predictions to let you know what I think will happen in 2011. Join us for this interactive show. We hope that you will join us in the chat room talking about 2010 and 2011. This is Carol Copeland Thomas, and you're listening to Focus on Empowerment. Welcome to today's show. This is Carol Copeland Thomas. It's bright and sunny out here, but boy, did we have a blizzard earlier this week. Talk about a memorable year. That's certainly going to go down as a December memory. We had probably about a foot of snow here in the south of Boston area. Boston had a little bit more snow, and then depending on where you happened to be, there was either more or less snow. If you were in New Jersey, you probably had 2 feet of snow, and in other parts of the East Coast. It was quite a storm, a memorable one, and one where the city of New York is still trying to get back on its feet. Many people were stranded. Some people are still trying to get home or to get to their locations to sort of enjoy the rest of the holiday before they have to go back to work on Monday. So again, this year started off with a bang, and it certainly is ending with a bang as well. And over the next 50 minutes or so, we're going to take you up and down to let you see what happened, what didn't happen, and see if we can jog your memory as well. I have some friends who chimed in, and they're going to give me their thoughts about this year and what can be done next year. And we want to thank you because a couple of our Blog Talk listeners have now decided that our show is a favorite. And so I'm very excited about that. And we hope that you will continue to spread the word about Focus on Empowerment. We're excited about the topics that we have covered and the topics that we will be covering next year. The fun thing about internet radio is that it's downloadable, so it doesn't make any difference if you listen live or if you listen after the fact. Of course, we always love live listeners, but you can always download the show, listen on your computer, or you can put it into your smartphone device or your MP3 device and listen in your car or wherever. And certainly we'd love to have your feedback and your ideas for new shows for 2011. In February, we're going to go to a half-hour format. The show will air from 1 to 1:30. So Blog Talk is making some changes, and so we're going to comply but keep the content high and rich. But we will have a half-hour show starting in February, the first Thursday in February. But again, we plan on doing some memorable shows that will take you literally around the United States and hopefully very soon outside of the United States as well. Well, this is the fifth day of Kwanzaa. I got my dates mixed up, and I thought it was the sixth day, and we talked about Kwanzaa last week with our Christmas special. This is the day called Nia. Let me just review all the days with you. It's Ujoma, also Kuchi Shokalia. I think I pronounced it correctly, Kuchi Shokalia. That's the second day. Ujima is the third day. Ujima is the fourth day. We're in the fifth day, Nia. And the sixth day is Kumba. And the seventh day, which coincides with New Year's Day, is Imani. Again, a secular celebration can be celebrated by anyone. It was started in the African-American community with a very Afrocentric perspective, but again, is now recognized pretty widely as a very wonderful opportunity for families to get together and to share some thoughts about the importance of life itself. Well, Nia is the fifth day of Kwanzaa, and it means purpose. Don't we need some purpose in our lives? On this day, we pledge to build and develop our communities, our schools, and our families. We also pledge to provide a strong communal foundation from which our children can develop into strong and productive people. So that's NEA, and that's going on today. And typically what happens is those who celebrate Kwanzaa will either form a group of families that celebrate it, and they go from house to house. They have seven different houses they go to, or they will go to one community center or one particular location where they can celebrate and then have a program, have food. I don't think there's much in terms of gift giving. That's really not the purpose of Kwanzaa, but it is an opportunity for friends and families to get together and reflect on the year that's passed and certainly on the year coming forward, going forward. So hats off to those. I have never really celebrated Kwanzaa, but I certainly respect it quite a bit. I always try to make it relevant. I think it's a very important concept in the community, and we certainly hope that those who do celebrate it will continue with the fifth day, the sixth day, and then on New Year's Day. What are you planning on doing for New Year's Day? I'd love to, if you're in the chat room or if you're with my Facebook page, let me know what your plans are for the New Year's Day. Give you a little caption of what typically takes place in the African-American community here in the United States. Typically on New Year's Eve, we in the black community go to church. Just like in many communities for Christmas Eve, that's a very big opportunity for folks to go to church. I went to church on New Year on Christmas Eve, and many in the Catholic faith have Catholic masses that take place at midnight. Then they come back to their homes and they have a meal together, or they have a meal before they go to Mass. So that is a cultural tradition that takes place around the globe. In the United States, typically on New Year's Eve, black people go to church. Why do they do this? They do this because it is in part tied with the signing of the Emancipation Proclamation, which took place January 1st, 1863. That was at the height of the Civil War. We know that that was the war between the states, and because the southern states wanted to disengage from the Union, forming their own confederacy, that actually started the war. But intertwined in that was this whole ugly issue of slavery. And President Lincoln wrestled with how things should happen, how things should take place. His wife was not one that was an abolitionist. She was actually not really concerned about slavery. He wrestled with it in terms of how it should be dismantled. The war broke out, and so one thing led to another. In 1862, paperwork was put together to devise a way to free the slaves in the Confederate states. It's a tricky document because it really focuses on those who were in battle with the Union states, and those were all the Confederate states, and slavery was abolished for those in the Confederate states with the Emancipation Proclamation. Well, the document started around September of 1862, and they were to go into effect and be signed by President Lincoln on January 1st, 1863. Now, I know I've had some listeners to send me emails about the accuracy of watch night service, but this is pretty accurate. I'm 57 years old, and in my lifetime and in my culture, in my era, we have always celebrated watch night, and it goes back to the era of slavery. So the slaves, particularly those in the southern states who were in battle with the Union states or the United States, and certainly those who were free people and even those who were enslaved in the Union states, they all were in prayer that President Lincoln would do the right thing and sign the document, the Emancipation Proclamation, on January 1st, 1863, then freeing the slaves from the Confederate states. And that practice of praying in the new year, praying that the president would do the right thing, has then evolved into a watch night service. In other words, watching and praying that things would go according to schedule, and that has become a tradition in the churches across the United States for black people. We do it to this day. It is a tradition. It's a ritual. Other things are tied in with it. My church that I go to, Bethlehem Me, the church service will start this year on tomorrow night at 10 p.m. We will have a service. Typically, we go out into the community and do some prayer in a particular part of Boston that needs prayer. Then we'll come back to the church. This is the first year they've done this, and we'll have a meal. We'll serve breakfast, which is kind of nice. So around 1 o'clock or so, we'll all sit down and have breakfast, and then we'll go home. So variations of watch night will take place around the United States because of this tradition linked to the Emancipation Proclamation. I can remember years ago, and I'm sure it still goes on now, people would come dressed up in their party gear. They would come to church. They would keep their coats on. They will pray. They will get up off their knees, and they'll go off to the party. Those things happen, and that is a tradition very largely kept intact in the black community. Now, that's not to say that there are not services in other parts of the world in some kind of watch and pray commemoration for the new year, for good things happening in the new year. But it's specifically very important and very symbolic in the black community and one that we practice to this day. So this weekend, I'll go to church tomorrow night. We'll have our watch night service, and then I am very excited because this Sunday at my daughter and son-in-law's church, my granddaughter is going to dance in the liturgical group, my two-and-a-half-year-old granddaughter, Juliana. So I can't wait to be there, to be with my family, and to then sing in and celebrate the new year at Bethel Bloomfield, Bloomfield, Connecticut, where my granddaughter will dance in the liturgical group ensemble. This will be her first time dancing as a two-and-a-half-year-old. We have no idea what she's going to do and if she'll follow directions, but it's cute anyway, and I'm Grandma, and I'll be there. Grandma Nyanya is my name. So that's the fun part. I hope that you're going to do something pretty fun this weekend. We know that work is right around the corner on January 3rd, and lots of people are on the ski slopes right now or vacationing or kicking back or watching football games this weekend, which they'll do certainly on New Year's Day, watching parades, all those good things, before you begin work on Monday morning. So lots of good things going on. It's been a wonderful and a miraculous year, and I guess what I want to do now is just to go back in time and just talk about some things that have happened and roll in some other information as well, and we'll have a good time with it. It started off in January. January 12th was a horrific earthquake. The earthquake that took place in Haiti, one that was concentrated, unfortunately, in the Port-au-Prince area. We heard about it around the 13th or so. Earthquakes that take place in other parts of the country, other parts of the world, typically get to the United States a day plus later. And depending on the severity of the damage or the news crews that are around, you may hear about it in a more comprehensive fashion in the coming days. This became an immediate nightmare on January 12th because it was concentrated with millions of people who live in the Port-au-Prince area. The unfortunate thing as well about this is because it was in an area that was so densely populated, even though it was not the strongest earthquake that hit in 2010, there were actually 13 earthquakes that were worse than the Haitian earthquake on January 12th. But because of the concentration of where the epicenter was and the way the construction of the homes in Haiti. We know it's a developing nation. We know that they have had many issues. They are wonderful people. But unfortunately, this hit them at their worst moment. They had actually just gotten up off the ground from a lot of flooding that had taken place with previous hurricanes, and then this earthquake hit. It wiped out at least 250,000 people. We know that 250,000 people plus died with that horrific earthquake, and it also set off just a whole systemic dominoes effect that we're now feeling today, because now there is a cholera epidemic as a direct result of drinking water not being provided, clean drinking water being provided, that goes back to the refurbishing of that country and the work that still goes on. Millions and millions of dollars were sent. I actually read a report yesterday that talked about the disasters and when people give, and typically people give online because of a disaster. This particular disaster, I think, created the largest number of online givers for this particular study ever, where people, I did it. You could take your telephone and you could text in some money, which I did with Wycliffe Jean, who had a fundraising drive that was going on. You could go to a portal, a website. You could give any kind of way. So there was lots of money given with the Haitian earthquake, and money is still being given. But unfortunately, the money has not been distributed yet for some interesting reasons I don't understand. I don't know why the money has not been put in place so that the reconstruction process could be much further along. It's not. And as a result of that, people are still sleeping in tents. They've had all kind of weather issues. Drinking water, as I said earlier, is not the safest. And so now you have hundreds and hundreds who are impacted or have died because of a cholera epidemic, all from an earthquake that took place on January 12th. We'll be celebrating that anniversary in the next couple of days. You'll probably see lots of things on CNN about it. We'll be talking about it, I'm sure, going forward. I now have a very dear friend who is the chief financial officer for USAID in Haiti. They're working very diligently to restore some kind of infrastructure with the country. So many, many things as a result of that. Then you skip over, so that was January. I mean, that just really dominated. There were other things that took place in the month of January, but we just want to just focus on one or two issues that took place each month. Otherwise, we'd have a four-hour show because so much took place. Then in February, speaking of earthquakes, on February 27th, there was a massive 8.8 quake that hit Chile. Now, again, I said the Haitian earthquake could hit and killed scores, thousands and thousands of people because of where the epicenter was and because of housing, how people's homes are constructed in that country. You go down farther south to South America, to Chile, you have an earthquake that is worse than the one in Haiti, but only 147 people died. Why? A, because of where the epicenter was, not in an area that is so heavily concentrated as it had been in Haiti, and number two, because of the construction of their homes. Chile has had earthquakes before. They're in an earthquake-prone area, along with Haiti and other parts of the world. But fortunately, because of their economic circumstances, the money that they're bringing into the country and the government, the way the government is structured, they have been able to construct buildings so that they can withstand very strong earthquakes. And as a result of that, it was not as devastating. Also in February, there was the big Toyota situation. Toyota began recalling several Prius cars, and that led to other recalls that took place. There are now pending lawsuits as a result of the recall effort with Toyota. People were concerned about whether how safe their cars were with their brakes as well. And, you know, one thing has led to another, and that's pretty much died down at this point. But it was a very, very big story earlier this year, and they, as a result, recalled a lot of Priuses, fixed them. That's the hybrid that's very popular. And they sustained a little bit of heat and publicity because their cars were not as safe as they should be. Then we move on to March. March was a very big month. And in the country of Greece was experiencing budget issues, budget crises. Like a wartime situation, there were riots that came as a result of the budget issues and the economic stability or lack thereof within the country of Greece. And you'll hear about this a little later on in London. There have been riots, literally, and protests in the capital cities of some countries because our economy is really becoming a global economy. What happens in one country affects another country. This economic circumstance that we find ourselves in is not just germane to the United States. It's having a ripple effect in Greece and London, in Iceland. Certainly Iceland has had some big issues, and we have to pay attention to things that are going on across the globe. A wonderful thing happened in the United States. I'm a progressive, so it was a wonderful thing to me. Around the 21st of March, the U.S. House passed health care. It also had passed in the Senate earlier. It was a real miracle and a great political maneuvering by Nancy Pelosi, where she got everybody together. They did their negotiating. And as a result of that, on March 21st, the House of Representatives passed the health care reform bill, and it was then later signed into law by President Obama. We know that it's going to be up for debate because the political winds of fire will change in 2011. The House is now going to be majority ruled by the Republicans, and they are surely going to challenge the health care bill, but I don't think it's going to be successful. There are things that are already taking place with health care. Young people who are 26, 25, 24 years old can stay on their parents' policies so that by 2012, 2013, and certainly 2014, when the bill will fully be implemented, we will be used to a national health care plan that will continuously be improved each year. And I think that in 5 years' time, people will just forget about the protest that nearly killed the bill. So that was in March of 2010 and moving forward as well. In April, we had a number of things, a lot of disasters that took place, just an awful lot. First of all, the president of Poland was killed in a plane crash on April 10th, coming from Russia. Very, very sad situation. They had to have emergency elections as a result of that. He passed away. Then in Iceland, I mentioned Iceland a little while ago in terms of their economy, but they had volcanic ash, and I'm not going to even pronounce the name of that volcano. It is a very long name, and you have to be Icelandic to pronounce it. But that literally wrecked, caused havoc on travel in Europe, grounded planes for days on end. So I look at the European plane situation with snowstorms about 2 weeks ago that grounded them. Well, before that, back in April, they had volcanic ash that was also threatening the planes and grounded many of the planes in Heathrow Airport, Charles de Gaulle Airport, and several others in Europe for several days until that died down. It happened one more time, but not to the degree that it happened on April 17th. And then here in the United States, in Louisiana, there was an oil spill, a BP, British Petroleum, which was its original name. It's now called BP. BP oil spill that took place. Oh, my goodness. Did it cause, unbelievable trauma problems, businesses closing down, tourist industries in threat, did not subside until the latter part of July when they finally plugged the leak. I am going to say, part of my 2011 predictions, that I don't think we've seen the last of this oil spill. They claim that it was all cleaned up. There's no way you can clean up thousands of barrels of oil dug very deep in the bottom of the ocean. I think there are going to be some long-term repercussions as a result of what happened with the BP oil spill in April. So April, again, was a pretty big month. And then in the month of May, we had things that took place in Guatemala. There was a deadly storm that hit Central America. That was the beginning of hurricane season as well. In Gaza Strip in Israel, there were many deaths as a result of the Israeli forces storming to aid a ship. You remember that situation? That was quite tense, and the situation with the Gaza Strip in Israel between the Israelis and the Palestinians still goes on to this day. One that's, I have no idea how it's going to be resolved, but it needs to be resolved quickly and peacefully. Then on May 24th, that actually is my sister-in-law and my late mother's birthday, but in Jamaica, there was a drug lord that was being sought after with the police department, and they ended up killing, I know more than five or six people were killed as a direct result of trying to find this drug lord who apparently had done good things in the neighborhood, so people tried to protect him, but he was still a drug lord. He was ultimately arrested months later, but it was a very, I think, handled, bungled by the police department in Jamaica with all the people who were killed just to capture this one man. In southern India, on May 21st, there was a plane crash that left about 160 dead. So, again, a tough time. And by May 30th, this big oil leak that BP had started, the oil leak was declared the worst U.S. environmental disaster, and every other news story had to do with that oil leak. So March moved on. In the month of June, again, we're just recalling some of the events that took place throughout the year. In the month of June, in Kazakhstan, tens of thousands of people fled ethnic violence that took place in that particular country. Finally, on June 22nd, after, again, several people had been killed, this alleged drug kingpin was finally arrested. And then on June 28th in Washington, D.C., the federal government charged 10 with spying for Russia. And there was one young woman, I can't think of her name right now, I know she's a redhead, she got all the news, she was very attractive. And they took all these spies and they finally shipped them back to Russia because they had been uncovered for the activities that they had been doing for years here in the United States, not just for a month or two, but for several years. There's also, let me just go back and wind myself back to the conversation I had about watch night service here in the United States. When the Emancipation Proclamation was signed on January 1st, 1863, again, it affected all the states that were in conflict with the United States. Those are all the Confederate states. There was one state in particular that decided not to free their slaves and to keep it as secret as possible, and that's the state of Texas. And it wasn't until 1865, when the war ended, everything was over with, finally around the 19th of June or so, the month of June, finally the slaves in Texas were finally free. So they literally kept them in bondage for an additional 2 years after this document had been signed. In commemoration for that, again, in the black community, we now celebrate what is called Juneteenth Day. And Juneteenth Day is the day when finally in the state of Texas and other parts of that region, other parts of that particular southwestern region, when finally those slaves were freed, we now have a big commemoration and celebration in the black community around June 19th called Juneteenth Day. and it's celebrated across the country. It's a big day. Typically, it's you go for picnics. It's either on the 19th or the closest Saturday where you can have a big festival and community outing. So it is one that is celebrated quite heavily in the Black community. Well, let's just take a little breather and a little break, and I want to share with you information about my new publication that is coming out in 2011 called Connections Magazine. I'm very excited about it. Advertisers are signing up. I'm excited about those who are going to be participating, the articles that are going to take place, and we have extended our advertising deadline to the 31st tomorrow for those who want to sign up and become advertisers with our lower rates. So let's hear a little bit now about Connections Magazine.
Connections Magazine is the magazine for you. We're looking for advertisers like you to be a part of our very first premier issue. Corporations, educational institutions, government agencies, nonprofit organizations, small businesses, entrepreneurs, community advocates, individuals, faith-based organizations, sororities and fraternities, associations, families, and those placing a memorial tribute. Connections is a news and professional development publication targeted at a multicultural audience of professionals, advocates, and emerging leaders who are making a positive impact on a globally diverse world. Our first issue of the specialty magazine will debut in the spring of 2011. The initial print run will be 10,000 to 15,000 copies distributed across Massachusetts, New England, and across the United States. This issue will have a special emphasis on global diversity and inclusion. It's people, businesses, institutions, and organizations that impact the marketplace in our globally connected world. Our special holiday pricing provides you with an opportunity to select your advertising space in a cost-effective manner before the prices go up at the end of the month. When you advertise by December 21st, you save lots of dollars on your ad. Plus, you'll receive the free memberships in the Multicultural Symposium Series when you advertise in Connections. Pricing just right for your organization, large or small. And individuals can also advertise. To receive a media kit with pricing, please email me at tellcarole@mac.com. That's tellcarole@mac.com. And put Connections Media Kit in the subject line. Please indicate if you're a small business, nonprofit, or an individual. Or you can call me at 508-947-5755 if you have any questions or comments. I'm Carol Copeland Thomas, and I'm excited about Connections Magazine and want you to be a part of our big debut. Show your commitment to multiculturalism, global diversity, and inclusion. Advertise in Connections today.
I'm really excited about that publication, that magazine. We're working very hard to make sure that it is a big success in 2011. Well, let's go back to our timeline for 2010, talking about some of the highlights that have taken place in the year 2010. And we stopped on June. I also wanted to mention the month of June. The World Cup started there. And, I had been a part of the World Cup. I had actually gone to a World Cup game in 1994 when it was here in Boston, enjoyed it quite a bit, and didn't really get engaged the way I did this year. For some reason, it worked. It clicked. I clicked with World Cup, and I watched as many games as possible, starting off, these games were held, obviously, in South Africa, first time in South Africa. They did a marvelous job with their hosting, 64 teams all the way down to 2 and then 1. It was very exciting to see the United States and how they played. They played pretty respectably. We had some favorites who were here with our team, as there are favorites in all the teams. But finally, on July 11th in Johannesburg, Spain beat the Netherlands, and they became World Cup champs. And that was quite exciting. So in honor of them, and we're just going to use that for our theme for July, I want to play the Spanish national anthem in honor of Spain winning the World Cup in July of 2010. Majestic national anthem. I definitely love national anthems, and as we build our website with the Multicultural Symposium series, we're going to put as many national anthems as we possibly can there so anyone can listen and, again, get a taste of the world. It's just really exciting to do that. In the month of August, again, things continue to take place. Here in the United States, the primary elections were heating up. There was lots of campaigning that was going on in various states. The Tea Party, I should also say that throughout all this from a political perspective, and we certainly could do a whole political timeline that would take, again, a whole program. We're focusing on a world perspective. But in the United States, the Tea Party raised and roared and complained and shouted out and did lots of things to gain a lot of attention. Glenn Beck had a rally in August, which was quite controversial because it was on the grounds of the Lincoln Memorial. Had several thousand people who came, and it was part of his dream event. And then to counter that, there was another rally put on by Dr. Reverend Al Sharpton and others to counter the Beck rally. I remember watching both of them and making my comments, and I actually did some reporting on it on this program. So politically, it's been a very, very active year as well. But something very amazing happened in the country of Chile. First of all, on August 6th, when 33 miners were trapped in a mine underground. When you hear these kind of reports, you just sort of hold your breath because you know there are going to be some people who have been killed. Explosion takes place. Miners get trapped. You don't know how many are going to survive. Well, 33 were trapped and presumed for lots of us that none of them got out. On August 22nd, all 33 miners were alive after 17 days of organizing themselves with their shop steward or the leader, the team leader, and rationing their food and a whole lot of prayers and getting themselves disciplined and never, ever, ever thinking they weren't going to get out alive. Just a true story of faith. We'll talk about what happens in the month of October. So that's what happened in October, in August, just an amazing story that I know is going to be a movie just because of how things turned out for them in the long run. There were other things that took place on August 31st. The U.S. combat mission in Iraq ended, as President Obama had promised. it officially ended, and the troops are being taken out. And we just had a big story this week that now the head of the president of Iraq says, yes, he wants all the troops out by 2011. Well, they will be out by 2011. And there's also on the table by 2014, all the troops are going to be removed from Afghanistan. So that is going to have to wind down as well. So hopefully the United States can stay out of warfare in other countries for at least a period of time so we can get our own country together. You know, unemployment in the United States, I should also say, has been quite high, very high, 10%, hovering 10% in some communities, much higher, certainly with youth, with African Americans. And younger African Americans, it can be as high as 17 and 18%. In the economy and this jobless recovery, we apparently has been told that our economy, the recession ended, quote unquote, in 2009. I'm not quite convinced of that. I think it's still lingering, and we certainly have had a jobless recovery where you have many people. I have friends who are out of work. There are other very skilled, trained, talented people who are having great difficulties finding work. And all of this has been pushing a lot of uncertainty and concern for people because the way things are taking place, not only in the United States, but also elsewhere. In September, here in this country, we had some primary elections that took place in September, some winners, some losers, that led to our general election. And in the month of September 7th, we had this church, this very small church in I forget which part of Florida it's located at this point, but the minister of the church, Pastor Brown, I remember his name was Brown, was very defiant, and he was going to, on September 11th, burn a Quran, or burn Qurans, in a very defiant act, a very disturbing situation that took presidential intervention and other intervention to get this lunatic not to do that. Fortunately, on September 11th, which is the ninth anniversary of that horrific event that took place in 2001, the Qurans were not burned, and fortunately the situation died down. But the tension now between Muslim Americans and who are being now profiled, or bills that are in place where they want to profile Muslim Americans, just signify, unfortunately, an unrest and a level of tension and discrimination that just continues to persevere here in the United States. In Japan, on September 20th, China and Japan relations soured over a captain. That's what happened then. And also on September 29th, European Union terror plot, possibly attacks in five countries, and these terror plots continue to go on across the world as we look at those who want to put people in harm's way. In October, I'm just going to push ahead, in October, many things happen in Brazil. They elected their first female president, hip, hip, hooray. In Sumatra, 112 people were killed and 500 missing after an earthquake. Again, one of these very powerful earthquakes that took place. And then the cholera epidemic broke out in Haiti, where it has killed many, many more than 138 now. There are several hundred over 1,000 now, who have been killed as a result of this cholera epidemic. That is just quite sad. And then in Chile on October 13th, remember August 6th when those miners were trapped? Well, all that discipline and all that patience and all that work, they were finally rescued on October 13th. The last miner coming up, we all watched it live. It was a remarkable event, and now they're heroes. They're going all over the world. I'm hoping that they're going to be financially rewarded for their resilience. It was a memorable moment, and in memory of that, I'm now going to play the Chilean national anthem. We are celebrating the 33 Chilean miners who walked out, literally walked out, danced out, alive, healthy, no severe problems, after over 60 days of captivity underground. What a miracle. That, to me, is a modern miracle despite everything else. You know things are possible like that. Amen. Well, we move on and talk about November. In the United States, it was rock and roll time. The Republicans won the House. The Democrats kept the Senate. Some blue dog Democrats lost their seats. Some Republicans stayed in place, moved up. John Boehner is now going to be installed in a couple of days as the new leader of the House of Representatives, since he is a Republican. I hope he doesn't cry during the whole ceremony, because he cries an awful lot. And it remains to be seen what's going to take place between the relationships between the Democrats and the Republicans in the United States. Yet to be seen. November 13th in Myanmar, which used to be called Burma, they finally released Aung San Suu Kyi after a long time under house arrest. She is a political dissident. They had her under house arrest for quite some time. I hope she's not rearrested. She is quite a symbolic woman for what she is trying to do for her country. The cholera epidemic continues to move forward in the month of November for Haiti, unfortunately. There was a volcano that erupted, killed dozens of people in Indonesia on November the 4th. And on November 16th, from a good point of view, Prince William announced his engagement to his lovely bride-to-be, Kate, and we'll be hearing a whole lot about that going forward. So November was filled with good news as well as some news that was quite disturbing. Also, November 28th, the WikiLeaks situation took place, which continues to this day with the Julian Assange, the founder of WikiLeaks. He's now under arrest for rape charges and other charges. Very bizarre situation. In the month of December, we move all the way to December, and lots of things are taking place. Julian Assange was freed on bail on December 16th in London, but he has to go back to court. The United States is carefully looking at ways that they can also prosecute him as well. Excuse me. And, again, the weather situation just continues. We had blizzards that took place in Europe, extreme weather conditions December 20th, Europe digging out of their snowstorm that just forced the cancellation of many, many planes across Europe. Now it's hitting the United States, different storm pattern altogether, but still impacting the United States, as I had mentioned earlier today. And so that's just a little taste of what happened in the year in review. Lots of good things that happened, lots of major disasters that took place, even in the Ivory Coast right now. They had an election earlier this month that is under dispute. Some of the African leaders have gone to the Ivory Coast to ask that the current leader step down, be removed. He refuses to leave. We have no idea what's going to happen with that, but hopefully that will resolve itself somewhat peacefully as time goes on. It's been an interesting year. Well, this is what some of my friends have said. Rhonda Waters, Dr. Rhonda Waters, looking in the past, but certainly looking forward, which I want to do at this point. Rhonda had said 2011 will be more prosperous for small business owners. People will realize we can no longer depend on a single employer for all financial needs, and start talking and start taking better care of ourselves. We've seen it for years, and we're probably going to devote a number of shows going forward to this whole notion of a professional who works on projects, who is a project professional, who works for maybe an agency or works for a company on different projects. Perhaps they are a 1099 employee, which means they're basically self-employed. They're working on different projects, receiving a respectable income, but they're taking care of their own health care needs, et cetera. I really think that in the United States in particular, the way we work and the kind of work that we get is going to be very different in the future. It is going to take a level of creativity, adaptivity, flexibility on that professional worker, that employee, who will have to look out for him or herself more than ever. Now, in 1989, when I started the Thomas Report, that was 21 years ago, I wrote an article, and I have it to this day, Job Security Isn't Gone Forever. I saw this 21 years ago, where employees were going to have to take control of their lives. They're going to have to take control of their career paths. And probably in the month of January, we'll talk more about that. I don't want to get off on that at this point. Kathy Harris, my friend in New Orleans, said she wants to highlight consumer confidence. Holiday shopping noted as possibly the best ever by NBC. Evening News, conspicuously missing was a mention in the media of the president and his efforts to get us to this point. That's pretty interesting. You're right. Very, very strong month of December, and shopping was exceedingly strong. And in terms of highlights, seeing the glimmer of light flickering at the end of the tunnel for the recovery following Hurricane Katrina. Hooray. Boy, my friends in New Orleans and the Gulf Coast, they have suffered 5 years later and still trying to get back on their feet. Future trends. New Orleans is headed for record-breaking prosperity, along with and ahead of the rest of the country. I'd love to hear that. Some real estate rebounds and growth for small businesses and entrepreneurship. That is from my friend Kathy Harris from KathyHarris.com, talking about what's taking place in her region and the highlights of that particular area. You know, there were a couple of failures. You can go to CNN.com. They have a whole lot of lists, and they talk about the antenna situation that took place with the iPhone. You know, that was bungled, unfortunately, and but it has not stopped the growth of the iPad. We're talking about the iPhone, but also the iPad, which debuted this year and is a big, big success. There were other bombs that happened. 3D TV didn't really take off, even though we had some pretty successful 3D movies. Google Buzz. Says Buzz was supposed to be the Google's entry into the world of social networking in much the same way that Google Wave, which Google killed in August, was supposed to revolutionize real-time communications. But apparently didn't. The Google Buzz isn't quite as big as they thought it was going to be. Content firms, these were all tech-related things that just didn't go very well, and created click. Bait junk on the internet didn't start in 2010, but it certainly took off in a big way. And according to the Wired article, industry leader Demand Media already was cranking out about 4,000 videos a day in late 2009, and they were on pace to publish 1 million items a month by this summer. Lots of content. Content is where we are in this world. Dig, which is which was very popular a while ago, Dig relaunched. Dig is not doing very well, and it's impressive that content sharing sites such as Dig have clung to some degree of relevancy in an era where most people share their favorite digital content on Facebook and Twitter. So Facebook and Twitter have out-topped Dig. Hopefully Dig will survive. I even know with Yahoo, they've had some layoffs with Yahoo because competition, that's what happens in this whole world of high tech. It's just quite interesting. What are my predictions? Let me just talk about some of the things that I'm looking at for 2011, which we'll talk more about in detail with our coming shows. When it comes to the economy, I predict that the economy will continue to improve ever so slowly. I do not think that the jobs will all come back, even though December was pretty strong in terms of job growth. I think that it's going to take us another 2 years to somehow fully get back on top of the job situation. I think we're going to continue to improve and increase in 2011, but it's going to continue to be pretty slow going. What I'm hoping is going to happen and what I think is going to happen is that many companies in the United States in particular will begin to breathe a little bit. Credit, I think, will begin to ease. I think that this whole housing situation will in some way turn around, which has everything to do with the economy. I think that we will be able to tie in the growth of the economy with providing more credit for small businesses and for the housing market to somehow do a rebound. I think that social media will continue, but I think there's going to be some leveling out. There's only so much you can do in terms of tweeting and being on Facebook and some of the other social platforms that we have. I think you're going to begin to see some bottoming out. You see it with Dig right now, and I think you're going to see some other social media platforms and others that are going to say sayonara in 2011, and people will begin to pick and choose the platforms, the technology that they want to use. I think healthcare is going to continue to be on the landscape where you have many older people, particularly in the United States, where healthcare is going to become even more important. Medicare is going to be talked about quite a bit. And we're probably going to hold off on some of the other predictions for next year. It's been a wonderful, wonderful year. We're going to close out this session with more playing of Auld Lang Syne as we go off the show. I just want to thank all of you for hanging in there and listening to my program, Focus on Empowerment. You can always check in with me at www.tellcarole.com. That's TellCarole.com or MSSConnect.com for the Multicultural Symposium Series. I love radio. I love my listeners. I thank you so much for a wonderful, rugged, invigorating year, and we're going to have much fun in 2011. Happy New Year to each and every one of you, and we're going to sign off with Auld Lang Syne. Take care.